I know a lot of you have had this experience because for those of us who in 2020 were all sent home and we were stuck in a lockdown during the pandemic, we had a lot of time on our hands. And I saw an ad for Masterclass and I thought, I want to better myself. I want access to all of these brilliant people who teach you things. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with more than 200 plus of the world's best and smartest. For just under 10 bucks a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And I don't care, you can wake up one morning and say, I want to learn about business. And then another where you say, I want to learn how to survive in the wild if I have no water and no fire to make me warm. You can access Masterclass on your phone, on your computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. And the classes totally make a difference. Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Liz. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Liz. Masterclass.com/Liz. You guys are back. Yes. Welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz. I'm going to take a little trip down memory lane. I did not do well in chemistry class at Beverly Hills High School. By the way, I wasn't alone. Nicolas Cage, who back then was Nick Coppola. Yes, he's the nephew of famed director Francis Ford Coppola. He sat next to me. And both of us were such a hot mess in that class. So no, I was not going to make a living doing anything that involved mixing molecules or free radicals into health food. But if I were to use my guest today as an example, I could have. You see, necessity is the mother of invention, right? And Trevor Farnes needed something that would help his very ill father, who suffered from neuropathy, that's pain from damaged nerves, as well as serious heart disease. So he started reading and mixing and matching, and he created a nitric oxide product, gave it to his father, who within days began to regain feeling in his fingers and toes, and to this day never had to have the open heart surgery his doctors warned he would face. Sounds like first time was a charm, right? Oh, no. Trevor had crashed and burned six businesses before getting to yell Eureka with his food supplements concept called Mountain Ops. How did he not give up after the fourth, the fifth, the sixth business that failed? How did he keep plowing ahead and fight tooth and nail till he reached success? Trevor is the co-founder and head of Mountain Ops, and he is here to tell us. Trevor, welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz. So glad you're with us.
Hi, Liz. Thanks for having me. Appreciate that intro. That was incredible.
Did you do well in chemistry class?
I did horribly in chemistry class, but I wanted things to explode when you mix things. But no, that was not my path. So. So it's interesting that I am where I am today, and you just gave a perfect synopsis of it all. I appreciate that.
Well, of course, but to me, I love it when people who on paper have no business doing what they do or creating what they create say, you know what, tough, I'm going to do this. And so there's obviously something within you, especially considering you fought through six failed businesses, but we'll get to all of that in a minute. I just want to talk about you and what you were attracted to when you were younger in school and what you were good at.
Yeah, I was more on the creative side in school when I was younger, and I was more interested in probably the girls at the school and the sports that I'd play at recess and the things that I planned on doing afterwards. You know, I had little clubs and stuff that I was involved in elementary school and junior high. Then it became the girls and the sports and the athletics and that type of thing. And in high school, similarly, I focused a lot on my soccer and just getting by. In fact, I played soccer in high school, and my coaches would always have to help me get over the 2.0 grade point average to be able to play. So I was a little distracted in school by other things and just disciplining my mind to sit down in a classroom and be educated was difficult for me. Yep.
Well,
so
let's just be clear, though. You were able to focus enough to start your first business in high school when you didn't even have a bank account, right?
Yep. I've followed in the footsteps of some incredible older brothers who are entrepreneurs. And so in high school, I talked one of my brothers into helping me start up my own business. It was called DC Home Care. We lived in Washington, DC at the time, just for a short stint during high school. My family's from Utah, but, and I started up a business there, receiving and distributing different durable medical equipment supplies in high school and just out of our garage there. And so, you know, going to open up the bank account, the business license and all of that. And then some of the wires that were coming in and out of there were substantial. And fortunately I had some mentors that kind of helped me into that, but I was really interested in business and providing a service to people. So yeah, that was my senior year of high school. At the same time working at a mall as well, just to kind of earn some money also.
Did you fake like you had a deeper voice when you tried to get customers? I mean, how did that work?
You know, I didn't personally work with the customers. I was kind of just the middle mount, almost like a warehouse distribution center that I could support different, from end to end, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and acted as a distribution center for some of the West Coast companies that my brother worked for. And so through some connections there, I was able to get some product in there, and then they'd tell me where to ship it. So it wasn't a lot of the, you know, forward facing, outward facing type business at the time. It was more so learning the back end structure of distribution. So
it sounds like you come from a very close family, and clearly if you cared enough to create an entire product for your dad, you must have a lot of love for him. Tell me about what led you to that, and the previous businesses that you started. I would say the high school one wasn't a failure, right? It sounds like it was pretty successful.
It was good, and yeah, it was successful. And then from there, I actually left and went on a mission for my church for 2 years, and so I just closed that up. It wasn't something that I was going to do full time. And then coming home from that, I dove into business with my brothers right away. Started selling pharmaceuticals for one of the businesses that they owned. And it was kind of an eat what you killed environment. You know, they handed me a phone book and said, go find your clients and find who you can broker some deals with. And that's how I did it. And my wife and I always had the goal to start our own business. Obviously, I'd done it before in high school, but that's kind of the path I wanted to go on. And it wasn't the path my father took. My father, you know, he was very big into education. Then he ran very large hospital organizations like IHC here in Utah, Holy Cross Health Systems that was in South Bend, Indiana. And so he was in the healthcare field. My brothers were selling pharmaceuticals. Over time, you know, I've now ultimately found myself in the nutrition and health space. But during that phase of working with my brothers, I really saw what it was to be an entrepreneur. I saw the freedom that they enjoyed, but also the hard work that it took to obtain that freedom in life, to go and do the things that they wanted to. And my wife and I saved up enough money to ultimately go out and invest in our own business. And two opportunities piqued our interest. One was in real estate, and then one was within a franchise. And this is 2007. Had I known what was around the corner in 2008, I would have ran from the real estate deals. But those deals, they ended up not happening the way that we penciled them out to occur. And then the franchise deal was the one that really just took us in the gut and got us on our knees and you know, really seeking out where should we go and what should we do, because we hit rock bottom with it. We, instead of investing in one franchise to see how it went, we were young, naive, and really aggressive, and we decided to open up seven. And so we paid seven franchise fees. We build out seven stores. I hired seven friends to go and run these stores.
Wait, what were they selling? What was the franchise?
It was a wireless company. So we were selling cell phones. Okay. It was a retail wireless. And then on top of that, my wife and I had the opportunity to sign seven 5-year personal guarantees on these retail locations. So it was so much stacked up against us, but the financials looked incredible. And so we thought, you know, while this is so hot, let's go for it. Let's hit it hard and hit it big quick. And I've learned since that that's not the way you do things. It takes patience, takes hard work, and it takes time to really succeed in life. But we tried it within a few months of opening up those stores and struggling to get kind of traffic through the doors. The franchise was actually shut down. And so all the franchisors who had just bought in were kind of put on a pause while there was some things looked into the franchise on the franchise level, nothing to do with us. But had I just, you know, invested in one franchise, the pain would have been a lot less. So we had these 7 stores we ultimately had to just back out of. And these landlords at the time were not, you know, they were hitting 2008 and struggling with their real estate ventures, and they didn't want to show us any mercy. And so they started putting liens on our property, and we started to not pay our mortgage. And for about 2 years, we didn't pay our mortgage. Similarly, at the same time, we had a daughter that ended up in the hospital with some medical bills. So it felt like everything we were trying to do just was met with opposition, and we weren't meant to succeed. That's how I felt, you know, as a young father, as a young husband. At this point in time, we got married in 2003. So we just hit our 20-year mark a few months ago, and we were young. My wife was 18. I was 21 when we got married. Now we were starting this business. We had a few children. So my roles and responsibilities in life over those few years were rapidly changing. I was now to provide, preside, and protect over this small family unit. And for a few years, I felt like I was doing great. And then all of a sudden, I felt like I was failing in those regards. And my desire more than anything was just to provide something for them, and so that they could have that security. And food was a topic of conversation all the time, because we had very little in our pantry. And so my wife and I really just were focusing on trying to get enough food. And so we'd reach out to different programs that we could get some assistance on and that type of thing. My ego was in the way, because I didn't want people to know that within 3 months, this big wireless franchise that we were going to, you know, succeed with was now quicker than 3 months going out of business, you know? And so, so that's kind of our experience in starting and building, and then starting and building. And we did that with a few businesses. And I started to realize that all of these businesses we were approaching, it became more and more just about the transaction and less about the mission, which I'm a very mission-driven individual. That's how I was raised to be. And you find a purpose in life, you find something you can get behind.
Passion.
And you sink your teeth into it. It's passion, yes. You know? And so I was losing that, and I just needed something for my family. And so just whatever transactional business I could come up with, that's what I was going after.
Well, wouldn't you say, Trevor, that there are no shortcuts in the end, and things look great on paper. Yeah. And sure, there are all kinds of opportunities that are dangled in front of you that look really delicious, and they ain't. And it really is slow and steady wins the race. It's so 100%. True.
100%.
Let's talk about when you were at your lowest. You didn't lose your house. Like, were you terrified that would happen?
The house, it felt like we got served legal paperwork, default foreclosure letters on a weekly basis. And actually, I'm sure we did. In fact, there was times where my wife would find people taking pictures of our home, and we didn't know why. And then on Thanksgiving Day of all days, we were on our way out to go to my in-laws for a Thanksgiving dinner that we didn't have to worry about food. And it was an incredible day, because that was the last thing we had to worry about. It was what we always worried about. And so we're on our way out and got a knock on the door, and a gal was handing us this legal documentation to let us know our house was up for auction in the coming days. And that was one of the rock bottom points, where it's like, now we knew why they were taking pictures of our home. We went to the internet and we found our home up for auction. And somehow, time and time again, I'm a faith-based individual, faith-based family, even our business is faith-based. It's God's hand just intervened, and people were put in our path that would allow us to overcome some of these obstacles. And we found a way to stay in our home a few days later. And then we ended up being able to stay in there for the long haul. And that was incredible, because we didn't have to relocate the family and start over that way. At least they had a secure home and roof over their heads.
Oh, this reminds me, Trevor, of a quote that I have read and listened to. God can move mountains, but you have to bring the shovel.
Yeah.
It said clearly, I love how you say people were put in our path. I don't think so. I think you hustled. You worked as hard as you possibly could to fight for this family. And you just had so many bad breaks thrown at you. When did things start to turn around? I mean, talk about this idea you had where you wanted to take the time to create something with your father with no intention of probably believing that it was going to be some type of blockbuster.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. And I appreciate that thought that you just shared. I think you work as though it depended on you, and you pray as though it depends on God. And that's what we did. And And so, yeah, through that, I ended up picking up a book that I typically wouldn't read. You started at this interview off with chemistry, and it was a book on chemistry. It's called No More Heart Disease by Dr. Luis Ignaro. He won the Nobel Prize in 1998 for his work with nitric oxide as a signaling molecule in the cardiovascular system. And when I read just the front cover, No More Heart Disease, I thought, okay, I've got a father who just had two stents put in his heart. His father died of a heart attack. My mother's father died of a stroke. We have a history of heart disease in our family. If I can find something in this book that meant something, you know, that would give me some direction on building a product, then I could maybe get behind this. So that's what I did. I read the book, and there was some ingredients that it had listed in there and some concoctions that this doctor recommended. And I thought, okay, my father could really benefit from this. So I'll see it first. I don't know if this is going to be a business opportunity, but I took the book to a chemist friend of mine, had him whip up the concoction that it was stating in there. He added some more ingredients to it that he felt like were missing. And I put my father on it. And within about 3 days, the feeling in his fingers and toes that he hadn't felt in about 10 years started to come back. And so I knew I was onto something, but I also was out of any financial resource to do what I wanted to do with this. Right. So, but this was the mission. It became my father. And I just need to mention my father just passed away 2 months ago.
Oh,
and
no. I'm so
he
sorry.
Has been one. No, I appreciate that. It gives me so much motivation to go out and share the message of our product because of what it did for him and what it's done for so many thousands of people now. And it just motivates me. And so he didn't die of a heart attack. He unfortunately had a very tragic fall and broke his neck. And so it was very abrupt and something we didn't expect. But even there, his heart was still strong. He was supposed to have open heart surgery 5 years after the stents went in. He avoided that. And his cardiologist just kept telling him, take whatever your son's giving you. And so he did. And so we did that. And that's been incredible for me because now I've had this product that I started selling through doctor's offices, but going back to me not having resources, I went to those brothers of mine that had some success. And I said, look, this product benefits dad. It will benefit us. There's millions of people throughout the world that are suffering from heart disease. So maybe this is a product we could take to the market and benefit from. So they helped me buy the first 350 bottles that I needed to buy from this manufacturer. And then I built the website. I designed the labels. I was taking customer service calls. I was doing this and that. And the first person that bought through the website that I built was a chiropractor. And I just decided I'm going to dive into this chiropractic community. I didn't know much about it. And then physical therapists and massage therapists and naturopathic doctors. And that's kind of the route I went. And it started to build. And they started to buy this product because they had customers that needed help with their neuropathy, with their blood pressure issues. And it started to take off. But slowly, it was just a slow, steady. We still struggled financially for a period of time. That stick-to-itiveness, that never give up mentality, that's always been a part of me. But I've always felt like mission-driven individuals, they can endure the struggles of life. And right. So I had this mission. And so I let time do the hard work. After that point, I realized I need to be patient. I need to put in the effort. This is not going to be a home run overnight. And it became such, and it started to grow. And then we found through a series of conversations with a marketing agency that was going to do some work with us that there was a big opportunity for products like this in the outdoor market and in hunting and outdoor recreation and that type of thing. And so I ended up partnering with a few individuals that were doing marketing in that space. And we took the products that I had developed for my father and for those doctors, and we rebranded it and then started to develop more and more products. And to the point now, we've been in business 9 years under a brand called Mountain Ops. And we sell through the outdoor industry.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Klayman. Just go to Indeed.com/Klayman right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Klayman. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. How big is the company now?
So we have just around 60 employees. We contract out our manufacturing and our shipping. So if we had those, we'd probably have another 25 to 30 employees. It's growing rapidly. The brand came out. The brand resonated with the industry super well. At the time when we launched, it was 2014. There was a big hunter athlete movement with brands like Under Armour, Sitka, Yeti. But there was no brand like ours. There was no consumable product like ours leading this charge for the hunting demographic, where a lot of these hunters wouldn't shop in a GNC. They don't go to the Gold's Gym. They work out in God's Gym. They're out in the mountains. And so most of them were trying supplements for the first time, and they were trying them through Mountain Ops. And we just broke down our barriers and walls and said, look, this is who we are. Here's why we're developing these products. Here's what we want to help you with. And we started telling our story. We started telling my father's story on how it helped him and how we've been selling through the doctor's offices. And it resonated really well, the branding. And then when they tried the product, they tasted it and they felt the difference. And that was a game changer. And we started selling through this very, very tight-knit community that is the hunter and outdoor enthusiast. And it resonated well. And so what I loved about it, when we started Mountain Ops, there was a handful of us that founded it together. I had never hunted. I was on this product development side. I'd done, you know, my distribution and understood operations. I have a marketing degree, but these guys really knew how to market, really knew the audience, the consumer within hunting. I didn't. And so I was just fueling this passion of the hunt. But what I really loved about what they were doing was that they were going out on the mountain and they were bringing food home for their families. And this resonated really well for me as something I wanted to dive into, because I had gone, 7 years now without providing a lot for my family as far as when it comes to nutrition and just food. That was always on our mind. My wife and I, when we were going through those hard times, made a commitment to each other that as soon as we had enough resource, we would try to give back to those suffering with food insecurities.
So you weren't even thinking, I can't wait till I have enough money to feed us and we'll be with this cornucopia of success. You immediately started thinking, we got to help other people who've been through what we've been through.
Exactly. When we were going through that, I felt like God was teaching us in that moment that there was a purpose for the pain we were going through. I feel like even with my dad's death, there's a purpose for it. And God does things for a wise purpose. And so we tried to find those wise purposes during that. In fact, we started donating $22 a month through this charity that would provide 30 meals to a child in need while we were going through that. And we made a commitment that one of the miracles of the Bible that we always turn to was when Christ, he took a few loaves and a few fishes and he multiplied them for the masses. And so we just said, as soon as we have a few loaves and a few fishes, not when the boat comes in full, because we don't know when the boat's going to come in full, or if it will at all. But as soon as we have just a few resources to work with, we're going to multiply them. And who knows if it's for the masses, but let's start with this $22. Okay. And then we started this business that was providing nutrition for people, while there's plenty of people around the world and here in our own country that can't even fathom a couple meals a day. There's some people throughout the world that a meal a day is hard to come by. And now I'm in this industry where they're going out on the mountains and they're bringing home food for their families. And I was just seeing all these correlations. And me and my wife said, this is it. This is where we're supposed to start this. Operation Conquer Hunger is what we call it. And so with every order that comes through our website, we donate a meal to a child in need. And in June, 1 week before my father passed away, we hit the 5 millionth donation,
oh my
5 millionth meal
gosh,
donated through our Operation Conquer Hunger.
That's amazing.
No, I appreciate that.
And let me ask you a very business type of question, because I wanted to jump in, but I was so intrigued by all that you've been telling me. You started creating supplements. Aren't there massive onerous regulations and FDA requirements when you're creating supplements and things that people will take, hoping that it helps them with some kinds of ailments they might have? How'd you deal with that?
You've got to work with the right people, and you have to do it the right way. I mean, there's FDA regulations, there's GMP certifications within the facilities. And so when you're working with a contract manufacturer, it's knowing the manufacturers you're working with, that they're doing and processing things the right way, that everything is documented, and then doing third-party tests ourselves on the products that are created, so that we can rest assured that what we say we're putting into people's bodies is what's going in. And so it had to be something I could trust 100%, giving to my father, then my brothers and my sisters and my family and my mother, and even my children that take the product. So yeah, there's a lot of regulation, and you have to follow, make sure that everything's safe and secure for those that are consuming it. And so we follow all of that to a T, and stand behind each of our product and formulations. And we never use any crazy formulation, crazy ingredient that has an iffy, it's gotta be completely tested, approved, have, plenty of backing and scientific results behind it that are effective. So that's kind of the process we go down. But we have regulatory in-house now. We used to have to contract that out to make sure it was all aligned. Mm-hmm. But there's that whole process to go through. Luckily here in Utah, we're kind of surrounded by a hotbed of nutritional companies and manufacturers, and so it's an industry that had connections in already, and good friendships that I could trust.
How big has the company grown when it comes to sales and beyond this original niche group who you found really was attracted to what you were offering?
We've got right around 300,000 customers that are coming through, through our doors on a monthly basis. And then from a retail volume, we do most of our business online, and then we've started to grow into the retail channels. You'd find us in stores like Scheels, Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Sportsman's Warehouse, a lot of the outdoor retail and specialty shops that way. You'd find us in a lot of Farm and Fleet, because we sell to an outdoors audience who drives trucks. They have guns. They have farm animals. They're going there to get their feed. And so we sell through those types of locations and then into some grocery, and it's growing. We strategically grow based off of, distribution wise, but also with our product and the focus that we have on different products. Our number one sellers is an energy product. And it's not just energy, but it's the same cardiovascular based formula that we created for my father, plus energy, plus a brain ignite, like cognitive blend. And so you get kind of those three in one.
What's it called?
And that's our number one product. It's called Ignite.
Ignite.
And then the product that we formulated for my father, if you don't want caffeine, but you want those cardiovascular benefits, then you go with Enduro. And then a true pre-workout, similarly using the same base formula that we created for my father, and then adding some ingredients like glutamine, beta-alanine, niacin, and creatine, we created a product called Yeti. And that's a true pre-workout you take before the gym. And so these products are made really for anyone that wants to enjoy those health benefits. And then we've got a full line of proteins and vitamins and greens and reds. And so there's a lot of SKUs to look at. One of the things that's really telling as to how well we're doing with our community and building that trust community is we sell a lot of shirts and hats that have a brand on it. People love wearing the brand. And that's not typical for a supplement company. You don't see a lot of people wearing their supplement company's shirts and hats, but it's a large portion of our sales. So we've got all these walking billboards out there that have paid to wear the brand, but it's because it means something. We did a big research study last year with a company that does research studies for supplement brands. And they came back and they said, We've never seen this in the history of us doing research studies for supplement brands. They said the big headliner for you guys is that you're a brand people trust. And then they broke that down and they said they trust you because of the core values they see on your website, on the wall of your office. But more importantly, they see you living them. And so our culture is all built around us truly living the core values of Mountain Ops. And when lived, we enhance the brand experience that everyone involved has. And if we live contrary to those core values, it diminishes the effect that brand and our product can have on people.
It's
and
called so putting your money where your mouth is.
100%. I agree. And so that's what we've done in building this culture. We can't give what we don't have. And so we're huge on living what we're preaching and helping people be able to do it themselves, because we've been there. We've walked in their shoes. Similarly to what my wife and I experienced with the food. Had we not been there, we wouldn't be here. I heard a quote once that said, you're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. And that's what we've taken. We've been there. We've experienced it. God's given us eyes to see, hearts to feel. And what am I supposed to do with it? I've got a stewardship over those experiences that God's given me. And so that's what my wife and I have committed to do. And fortunately for us, we have a business here with like-minded individuals and partners that's their mission as well. And so we've just rallied around this opportunity to improve the lives of individuals and families through our community, through our product, but then doing something with the resources that come as a result and feeding those less fortunate than us.
Well, I can tell you this. Your dad is up there and proud of you. I am so honored to hear your story here, Trevor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that very much. It's been an honor to be on.
The company is called Mountain Ops. Check it out. Check out the shirt. I got to see the merch here. It's amazing. Guys, listen to me. He failed in 6 different businesses and efforts before he was able to finally find that path that he actually realized was drawn to him like a magnet, and that is passion. If you make your passion your profession, you will succeed. I am so thrilled that you tuned in to hear this one. We've got a million good ones. Well, 231, I think we're at now, of the most incredible entrepreneurial success stories through failure. You don't get success until you fail. So thank you once again. I appreciate you guys more than you will ever know. I'll see you Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Claiming Countdown. Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.